Report with your host, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com, where the alternative media gets their news. This show will expose the elite domination plan, disinfo agents, propaganda, corporate control, and the UN plan to strip the world of its freedom and the U.S. of its constitution. This is the Region 10 Report with Suzanne Posel, bringing you the real truth behind the news.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Region 10 Report. This is episode number 32, and we are broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio, as we do every Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on stations all across the globe, as well as syndicated by our good friends at Prepper Podcast Network and UCY.TV. You can listen to the archives if you missed the show, if you're not listening live, on AFR Archives. Just search Region 10 Report, and you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can sign up for our RSS feed and our newsletter for OccupyCorporatism.com. I want to thank everyone for donating, and if you can, please do so. On the front page, there's the advertise donate and make your contribution to help keep the site running. Now, I want to make an announcement. Today, I have a friend who works for the Staffney Law Firm. Her name is Michelle Darnell. And I had written an article today, amongst other people, about the secret court order on the Verizon wireless phone records. And apparently the National Security Agency has put out a secret court order, and you can, if you go to OccupyCorporatism.com, the article is up on the front page, and you can read that court order. It is to siphon all telephone records from millions of U.S. customers of Verizon Wireless. And they are looking for phone numbers of callers and receivers, serial numbers of the phones, and possible GPS location of the caller and receiver as the call occurs. So if you are a Verizon Wireless customer, the Staffney Law Firm up in Washington State is looking to get together a class action lawsuit. And you can contact Michelle Darnell at area code 360-403-8700, extension 202. That number again is 360-403-8700, extension 202. And that is Michelle Darnell at the Staffney Law Firm. Now, today, folks, I have back with us the wonderful and incredible Mark Passio from whatonearthishappening.com. Mark, are you here?
Yes, I am, Suzanne. Thank you so much for inviting me back onto your show.
Oh, it's a pleasure for me. We only got into like the bare meat of everything last time you were here. So I'm excited to get into this occult and mind control and symbolism, really dig into it.
Absolutely. There's so much to talk about when it comes to all of this that, it could take years for people to understand all of the different dynamics that are going on. But, as they say, the journey of a 1,000 miles begins with the first step. So if people just approach things with an open mind, an open heart, and can hear information without at first accepting it or rejecting it, I think they'll go a long way.
Absolutely. I think that's part of the problem. I was listening to a broadcast yesterday, and the gentleman was talking about the Pegasus Project, which I don't know much about.
Right.
I watched a couple of documentaries on it, but I am familiar with, what was that book? Oh, gee, I can't remember. I can see the cover on the top. It's about the chair.
The Montauk Project?
Montauk, there we go. Yes, I'm familiar with that. Talking about, the gentleman was talking about mind control and how it's generational, and how we've all basically, the last couple of generations have been successfully programmed to the point where we're policing ourselves.
Yeah, I think you're referring to Stuart Swerdlow.
Maybe, yes. I didn't catch the gentleman's name. I was just listening in the middle of the broadcast.
Right.
But it was very interesting to me.
Yeah, he puts out some good information on mind control. The kind of mind control that projects like that usually deal with are more direct methods of mind control, like direct stimulation of the brain. The kind of mind control that I specialize in talking about and discussing is what people would call soft mind control, or simply methodologies of the manipulation of human consciousness. How to get people to basically behave the way that you want them to behave by manipulating the mind. So if you take control over what people think, or if you can influence the way people think, then that is ultimately going to influence their behavior. And there's multifaceted methodologies for doing that.
Well, right before we went on air, I'd mentioned to you this article that I wrote about the little girl, 10-year-old girl, who is waiting for a lung transplant. And I'd mentioned to you that someone who had commented on that article said, well, you know, this is the rule that's been in place for many years, and it's not a big deal, and, you know, oh well, so a 10-year-old dies. And I thought to myself when I saw that, what if it was your 10-year-old? What if you were the 10-year-old? What if it was your cousin? Or does it have to get personal before people care?
I think it almost does, because people are so almost hardwired into accepting this notion that somehow something being legal or being the law makes it moral. This is one of the things that is a mind control technique in and of itself, that people believe that morality can be legislated, and that a legislator has the power, somehow this magical capability, to be able to write a law down, and in doing so, that can turn a wrongdoing into a right, or conversely can turn someone's right into a wrongdoing simply by saying it and then writing it down on paper and then so-called passing it into quote-unquote law. And people actually believe that then that binds people to actually to those arbitrary dictates of man. People are thinking that that is what quote-unquote law is, instead of understanding that there is a natural law that is in effect that governs behavior ultimately, and these are the laws of morality, the laws of right and wrong. And this is what people don't really understand. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. And when you say that to people, they get incredibly offended. They become bitter and defensive. But I'd like to ask people this simple question. If you would go back to Nazi Germany in 1938, 1939, when they had already begun their eugenics program in earnest and had already started, laying the plans for prison camps and concentration camps in that country. And you would first of all see everything that they were doing had been legalized through the process of legislation. What the Nazis were doing, racially cleansing, all the race laws that they passed, okay? This was legal in Nazi Germany. It wasn't something that was done illegally in a criminal, quote-unquote, sense. It's criminal behavior. We understand that, or at least most of us understand it. But the point is, it was all legislated and made, quote-unquote, legal by passing of laws, writing down of man's laws, turning incredible crimes, wrongdoings, and savagery into what the government called their right to do it. And if you ask the average citizen, let's say you picked a working class German citizen of the time, and you simply ask them, do you think that you, and let's say they're a member of the Nazi Party, you know, they show up for the rallies and they, you know, support the German troops and they support the, you know, politicians of the day. And you ask that German citizen, this average class working German citizen who's a member of the Nazi Party, are you a moral human being? Are you a good person? Do you know the difference between right and wrong? Do you have a conscience? Like, is a conscience truly active and born inside your heart? Do you truly, in your mind, know the difference between right and wrong? They would look you dead in the eyes, and they would say, absolutely, I am a good person. I know the difference between right and wrong. I have common sense, and I have conscience. And how dare you even suggest otherwise by asking me that question? And yet, Today in America, we are in the same situation. We are in the exact same situation. People believe erroneously that they are moral individuals, that they have common sense, that they have conscience, that they know truly the difference between right and wrong, and they support right over wrong. When in fact, the truth is that the vast majority of people in this country do not know the first thing about morality. And there's an equation. There is a law that exists in nature. And it's the reason that we're in a police state already. Not even heading into one, we're in one now. Whether people recognize it or not, understand that or not, are comfortable hearing that or not, that's where we're at. And there's a law in nature that governs this dynamic. And it's very simple, and people can, you know, think whatever they want when I say this, and you can think I'm being self-righteous, etc. I'm just explaining how a natural law operates. Not because I say it works like that. I have understood this law through years of research, hard work, study, getting my ego out of the way and admitting that I was wrong about so many things. That's how this understanding of natural law came unto me, and that I was able to see how this operates. And it's there in nature. Again, it's like any other law of physics or physical law. It is there, it exists, and it is there to be discovered. All mankind can do is discover it. We don't get to make it up. We either live in harmony with it or try to oppose it. But when we try to oppose this law, we suffer and go into a prison like we're going into now. So this law is very simple. It states that as morality increases, as the true understanding between right and wrong increases, and then people choose the right action over the wrong action, and that becomes the normal order of the day amongst the majority of the population, as morality amongst a people in any given civilization increases, freedom increases. Conversely, as morality declines, and as people lose the connection in conscience and common sense and do not truly understand and live the difference between right and wrong in their own lives, freedom wanes. Freedom gets taken from that civilization, that society, that group of people. This is a natural law that operates in the universe that we are bound to, that we are bound by, that it doesn't matter whether we understand it or not. It's always operating. We are always bound by it. And until we understand that law, we're going to continue to create our reality completely unconsciously. And in doing so, we're going to create endless, needless suffering for ourselves.
That makes complete sense, because that's where we are now. Right. I mean, it's okay to murder in certain circumstances. It's okay to abuse people in certain circumstances. If you're angry at someone for something, it's okay to lash out under certain circumstances. And we actually encourage some groups in alternative media encourage the lashing out and the production from their audience of anger in order to facilitate this violence.
Well, look at the example you just gave. Legislators and the average person believes that you can write a law down saying that you are not allowed to help this child, and that's the law. So then the child must suffer. Nobody can do anything to help her. It's possible to do something to help her, but we're bound by this law that's written down, and therefore we have to let this child continue to suffer. I mean, imagine that. That's the kind of people. This blind respect for law and authority is the problem in our society, that people believe that there's such a thing as authority. Again, this is the root of the problem. We believe that there's a class of people who get to make up what right and wrong are. And then, by writing down their idea of what right and wrong is, they're binding us to do that. So if they say, a natural right, we don't like this right. Let's say, we don't want this kind of speech. Well, we're going to say that speech is outlawed. You're not allowed to talk out against this institution or this organization, regardless of whether they're doing is immoral or not. And we're banning that, and we're saying you can't do that. You can't do that in certain places. You can't do that at all. Okay? That would be them claiming that they can turn a natural right into a wrong that is punishable by some kind of violence that someone would do to take against somebody who said, no, I'm going to do this anyway because it's my right to do it. I have a right to speak. I have a right to engage people with information freely. If they want the information, I have a right to give it to them. Okay? And even if they don't want it, I have a right to attempt to make them understand it, to help them to understand it by speaking it freely and openly. And people think that that can be taken away. They don't understand that human beings possess, as a birthright, unalienable rights. And because they don't, the reason they don't understand that is because they do not know what a right is. This is the problem. People don't know what right is, and they don't know what a wrong is. There's a reason human rights are called a right. It's because it's based in moral behavior. If you're not harming, if the action that you are taking is not causing harm to another person or causing loss to them, you're not defrauding them of property in some way, so you're not causing any harm or defrauding them of any property or damaging their property or damaging their right to remain secure in their own person, in their own body, in their own property, then no wrongdoing has been committed. That is a right, therefore, because it did not cause harm. So the opposite, a wrongdoing, is anything that does cause harm to another person. If you take an action and it harms another human being, that's a wrongdoing, and therefore it is not one of your rights to do. So we have all these laws that are victimless so-called crimes because somebody else is writing down a law saying you must or must not engage in this particular kind of behavior. They're telling people that they must not engage in certain behaviors that are rights because they don't cause harm. So we could look at all forms of prohibition, and it either...
Absolutely. We're going to head off on to break, Mark. Hold that thought, because absolutely, people don't know what their rights are. And folks, don't go away. We're talking with Mark Bossio, and his website is whatonearthishappening.com, and we have just gotten started, guys. Sit tight.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Have you been feeling off lately? Tired, depressed, or in pain? Maybe you've tried doctors and medications without luck. What if you could try something different and natural? Something that helps your body actually heal itself. I'm Trina, and I want to share with you something amazing I've discovered. RNA drops are a groundbreaking invention for alternative health. I had a rotator cuff injury from softball, and I didn't really want surgery. My cousin told me to try the RNA drops. I wasn't sure what to think, but kept an open mind. And after using the drops, I was completely healed and could throw the softball again. There's something about these drops. I had problems with anxiety and speaking in front of people. Those fears are all gone now. I also noticed more energy, and a surprising side effect for me was an increased libido. You can try RNA drops for free for a limited time. Go to trinasgooddrops.com and claim your free bottle. Pay only shipping and handling. Resolve to be good to yourself and get your free sample of RNA drops at trinasgooddrops.com.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What you hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
Has your heart been pounding? Feel short of breath? Got high blood pressure or problems sleeping? Heart disease is a leading cause of death. Being surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and poisoned water has a cumulative effect as we enter later life. Medications that only address symptoms ensure these problems persist while your family and finances suffer. It's time to work with the body and its own innate ability to heal itself. Heart and Body Extract is a natural, organic herbal supplement that restores balance. A heart attack could be just around the corner. Spare your loved ones pain and fear. Protect yourself. Protect your health with Heart and Body Extract. With a lifetime money-back guarantee, you have no excuse. Order a two-month supply today. Call toll-free 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get the real truth behind the news. Join us Thursday evenings, 4 p.m. Central, for the Region 10 Report, brought to you by Suzanne Posel and OccupyCorporatism.com.
Fight the last freedom of imagination, or drowning pop culture of the biggest nation, with armies of idiots brandishing brand names of one corporation or conflagration, the most holy train wreck of all human history. Tell me how you feel.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for coming back with us. We are talking with Mark Passio, and his website is whatonearthishappening.com. And, Mark, before we went on to the break, we were discussing, well, why don't you define for everyone what a right actually is?
A right is an action that does not cause harm to another living being. That's it. It's so simple. It's almost ridiculously simple. If you're not causing harm to someone else, you have a right to take that action. That's it. And everything else that people imagine could happen if we lived like that is all based in fear. The fear of the possibility of chaos. And imagine that. They're fearing possibility of chaos from saying all that I think people should be allowed to do is do actions that don't cause harm. And yet people invent things. The mind is a very powerful tool. It can see, it can envision into the future. This is, the imagination is very powerful and it's very important. But we can use it to instill fear in ourselves by envisioning future situations of what might this person do if he were unrestrained, if he were not being externally controlled and told what he can and cannot do. See, it's all based in fear. That's the fear of true freedom. The fear of not being controlled anymore is what people who are statists still have in their mind. What might happen if everybody were actually free and there was no slavery called government anymore? Because that's what we're really talking about. You know, when we talk about things like taxation, people don't understand that's modern slavery. We may have moved away from ball and chain slavery, of physical shackled slavery, but slavery still exists. And I stand against it in all of its forms. You know, that's when I tell people that when they say, what's your site about? I tell them it's about human slavery and how to end it, because I stand against it. And I think people, like when you tell them something is about freedom. The word is almost meaningless in the modern day. They don't even understand it. They don't understand it to such a degree that that word has lost all meaning for some people because they can't even conceptualize what freedom really is. So when you tell them it's, my site is actually anti-slavery, I'm trying to end what is still in effect as slavery in the modern day. While you might not see it as ball and chain slavery, it's still all based in violence, and therefore it's slavery. You're telling someone what they may or may not do, even if they're not causing harm to someone else, or what they must do, or you will do violence to them. That's slavery by any definition. If you're coercing someone else's free will, you're taking their property, the product of their labor, and you're telling them what they can and cannot put into their body. These are all forms of slavery. We could look at one. Let's look at prohibition, which I was going to bring up before the break. Of any substance, prohibition is making the claim that another person may not put something into their own body. Of whatever the substance is that you're saying you are prohibiting, you're prohibiting, hence the term prohibition, prohibiting them from putting a substance inside of themselves. So it doesn't matter, you know, I've actually attempted to explain this philosophy to even people who are marijuana activists who want to see the legalization of marijuana, and they themselves cannot get this fundamental philosophical truth. This is how brainwashed the state has people. If someone else is telling you you may not put a substance into your body, regardless of what the substance is, regardless, whether it is orange juice, whether it is vinegar, whether it is marijuana, cocaine, heroin, or any other substance, or rat poison, if someone else is telling you you may not put something inside of yourself, not having to do with anything else, not anybody else, okay, not forcing anything on anybody else, not having to do with any subsequent action that you may take that you are still responsible for, okay? We're not talking about subsequent actions that may happen after that. Because that you would still have to be judged upon the action that you took and whether it was right or wrong. So I'm not talking about going and getting hammered in a bar and then go beating on somebody for no reason. You would still be wrong and taking a wrong action for beating on somebody for no reason, regardless of whether you had 10 drinks or 0 drinks. But the point here is the actual command that you may not put something into your own body. Absolutely. And it is just unreconcilably true. It is irrevocably true that is a claim of ownership upon the body. It is making a claim that you own that other person, that their body is not theirs to do as they see fit with it, that you get to make the determination of what may or may not go into that person's body. And as such, that is a claim of ownership that is being made on another physical body. Now, when you ask people, what is the claim of physical ownership that is being made on another being called, on another human being? If I make the claim that another human being's physical body belongs to me, almost 100% of human beings on this planet is going to tell you that that is the definition of slavery. Yet, when you ask them, is prohibition slavery of any substance, they'll tell you, no, that's not slavery. That's a law passed in people's better interest, in their best interest, because we don't want to see a lot of people taking substance and then going out and doing harmful things. Well, they're equating the two. Taking a substance does not necessarily result in going out and doing harmful things. It can, but it does not necessarily mean that. And many people who take substances do not go out and do anything harmful or unlawful or violent to other people. This just is not true. It is an argument that does not hold any water. The whole point is, even if people were taking a lot of substance and then going out and doing harmful things. You would have to deal with the people who went out and did harmful things based on what they did, not based on the fact that they were putting a substance into their body, which is someone's natural right to do so if they are the owner of their own body and the state isn't their owner. So if government is the owner of someone else's body, meaning that government is the master and the citizenry are the slaves, then that means they have a right to command what may or may not go into the citizenry, into their bodies. And this is just nonsense. If anybody believes this, you are a supporter of slavery. And that's just cut and dried. Very simply, whoever believes that supports slavery. And they don't want to hear
that. Some people might say, oh, but we need the FDA because all of these corporations are putting all of these chemicals into our food, and we need some sort of regulatory body in order to save us from all of these chemicals in our food. Never mind the fact that they approve a lot of those chemicals in our food,
sure.
But people will argue that fact claim that fact.
The government, if lobbied enough and paid enough money, will allow these corporations to put any amounts of poison into the food. I mean, just look at aspartame. Aspartame is arguably the most acid-forming, which contributes to all forms of disease that are fostered inside the human body. Okay, aspartame is arguably the thing that is the most acidic and therefore contributes to the most disease-forming agents inside of the body, as well as being a neurotoxin. It is an excitotoxin, excitatory neurotransmitter is the scientific term for what aspartame actually is. It passes the blood-brain barrier and causes free radicals to be able to pass the blood-brain barrier also. It is an excitotoxin that actually affects the entire central nervous system, including the human brain, in extremely detrimental ways that then exacerbates other problems in the body because of its acid-forming nature and therefore creates all kinds of openness to diseases. And yet the government has approved that in hundreds, thousands of different food products throughout the country. To say that we need to lobby government to get people to get these corporations not to continue to put bad food into the body is abdication of personal responsibility to learn about nutrition. This is why other people want government to do things for them. They don't want to have to learn about nutrition. You know, make the market decision to say, I'm not going to support this product by buying it anymore. I'm not going to put this into my body because I am educated enough to know that it is harmful. That's taking personal responsibility for what does and does not go into your own body. And then people should hold these corporations personally accountable if they know that they're putting poison into their body. And you don't need to do that through government. You could immediately stop making the decision to continue to purchase their products and put them out of business. That would be the best and most effective way of dealing with them. But people don't want to do that because that involves a little bit of reading. That involves a little bit of learning. That involves taking in information and exercising common sense and then actually doing something, taking an action that you're personally responsible for. And that's the thing. These nanny staters who want all these regulations don't understand that this is in itself, this act of continuing to beg government to please act as our protector is the abdication of your own personal responsibility. My responsibility to live my life and understand what's going on around me, within me, and look into what I'm eating, look into what I'm doing, okay, and be personally responsible for those things is my responsibility. It is no one else's responsibility. I wouldn't care if hundreds of thousands of corporations were ladening things with poison because I'm not going to choose to buy that. And if other people were educated, and that I understand that's a big if, and here's the problem, if other people were educated, they would make those same informed decisions instead of asking other people to make those decisions for them or to make regulations so that they won't have to make those decisions. The point here is the public isn't educated. The public has been so dumbed down by the educational system, so-called educational system, which is a Prussian indoctrination system, pattern on Prussian education, pattern on Nazi education, pattern on outcome-based education as was practiced in the Soviet Union. The public doesn't have the tool set anymore in their mind, in their makeup, to make proper decisions for themselves. It's going to take a lot of re-education and a lot of abandonment of the lies that they've been taught, the propaganda that they've been taught, for them to learn how to think clearly again in order to exercise that personal responsibility. But you can't give your personal responsibility away to someone else. This is an illusion. It's folly to think that you can do it. It's an impossibility to do it no more than you could take the brain out of your head and give it to somebody else and live, or take the heart out of the center of your body and give it to someone else and continue to live. It is an impossibility. The abdication of personal responsibility is actually an illusion. It cannot actually be given away. You can only make the claim that you're giving it away, just like slavery is always illegitimate. It's only a claim that someone is a master of someone else and another person is their property. It never actually really exists in nature like that. It's just an erroneous claim, and someone else who either accepts their claim or is forced to live under that claim by violence. But it's never legitimate. It doesn't really exist in nature. In nature, there are no masters and there are no slaves. Anybody who thinks this is delusional, they are under an illusory form of miscomprehension that equates to mind control, because they've believed something that is a lie fundamentally in nature. It does not exist. There's only a claim that someone can own someone else, and then other people who believe that claim of authority.
And then it boils down to compliance. It boils down to the fact that we comply. We believe their claim. We believe that we have to do this. We believe that we have to work really hard for this piece of paper. We believe that this piece of paper defines us. We believe that what we have amassed because of these piece of papers have defined us. We believe that we can't make an informed decision on what we put in our body. We believe that we don't know enough about a subject, so we have to trust what other people say. We believe that regardless of what this we're observing in our actual life, that studies and research papers and reports are actually true. And because we comply with this whole entire belief, they continue on. And it's that simple. It's that simple. That's why I keep telling people, stop complying. Stop. Just stop.
And, you know, what you were saying there over and over again rings so true, because it's all based in belief. It isn't based in knowledge. It's not based in knowledge of self. It's not based in knowledge of natural law that exists in the universe. It's based in a belief system. Now, a belief system which is untrue, okay, and is used to control and is essentially false, fundamentally based in illusion, that holds people back from progress, from moving forward in consciousness, in growth and understanding and evolutionary progression forward, is a religion.
Yes.
The systems that we're ultimately battling against are new forms of religion.
We're coming up on a break here, Mark. Let's hold that right there at religion, so people can understand even the evolutionary theory, and even environmentalism has become a religion, folks. We're going to take a break here, and we will be right back with Mark Passio from whatonearthishappening.com. Do not go away.
Did you get a red light camera ticket? Red light cameras are a scam. The government and their corporate interests want you to believe they are about safety, but in reality they generate billions of dollars for private security firms like Redflex Incorporated, robbing you of time, money and energy. Don't let the flash steal your cash. At Kilvin redlightcameras.com, you can purchase a copy of You Don't Have to Pay, How Anyone Can Beat a Red Light Camera Ticket the Easy Way by Red Light Camera Crusader Rory Joseph Brown. Rory figured out the secret that the courts, police, and private camera companies don't want you to know. That in fact, these cameras are unconstitutional. You Don't Have to Pay as a field guide to go from receiving your ticket in the mail to beating it in court in 3 easy steps. Hurry, act now. Go to killredlightcameras.com. Available in both PDF and Kindle versions. If you know your rights, you don't have to pay. Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in 3 models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
To those in uniform and to those in the dark suits in government who are serving the system while not actually instigating it, they're serving it. You have no power. I don't care if you're in the military. I don't care if you've got how many kind of stars on your uniform. I don't care what level of the police force you're in. I don't care if you're doing roadblocks. I don't care if you're pulling people off the street. I don't care what you're doing. You have no power. Your uniform has the power. Take your uniform off, put it in the wardrobe, where's your power? Go and get another job without that uniform, where's your power? You have no power. You are employed to animate that uniform, which is an extension of the state, and that's all you are, and therefore you are expendable.
We're ready for our first caller. Welcome, Debbie.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about what the RNA drops are doing for you and what your experience is on them?
Oh, gosh, I've had so many experiences. The first effects I felt was I would take the drops before going off to the golf course to play in league or just to play, and I noticed my game was more precise, and my focus was there, and my eye stayed right in the ball, and I hit the ball farther. My muscles seemed to work. My energy levels seemed to be up, and I'll tell you, I took a couple of strokes off my game.
I think that's incredible.
It's pretty exciting.
What are the other things that you have noticed on that?
Well, in my love life, I noticed that the focus and the energy level and the energy exchange that I have with my man has been amazing. I can actually feel the energy exchange from his body to my body.
That is great.
Just beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
And again, you can get those drops at trinasgooddrops.com.
That's right, trinasgooddrops.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard-hitting and in-your-face, America.
Denying the times of the low were at ease, weren't at odds with establishment, iron wore upkeep while asking one question for answering it first, as the central intelligence eats the whole world. Tell me how you feel.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is the Region 10 Report, and we're talking with Mark Passio. Before we went on the break, Mark, we were discussing, or you started to get into religion, and I think this will segue perfectly into the occult.
Sure. See, people stopped really accepting the old religions, or the old, what I would call cultural religions, as authority. in the past, in the old world order, the religions were used as direct methodologies of control over people. And the priest or king priest was the direct intercessor and intermediary between God and people. And he was like the representative of God on the earth. This form of control started waning over the last few thousand years on this planet until we come down into the modern day, when people don't look at religions in the sense of Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, etc., as authorities. These aren't what they consider an authority. Today, we've replaced the notion of a king or a priest or a priest-king, okay, combination, of being, you know, as one person who is the divine authority, who has the right to rule by his, royal blood, or he's been divinely appointed by God to rule over people, okay, because he has some kind of magical capability and rights that other people don't have. We've replaced that with the notion of government. Government is the new religion. This is the religion of the new world order. The old world order religions, that form of mind control basically waned and stopped working on the people because they said, hey, this is all based in a nonsensical belief. We've reached the age of, you know, scientific understanding, at least partially, and we want to do away with these systems because we know this person isn't really the representative of God on the earth. He's just making that claim. It's not actually really true. But see, very slyly, this notion was still kept. This notion of authority over other people, meaning human slavery. And it was kept in the form, well, instead of just one person, we're going to form a group of people that are going to act as the authority. We're going to say that authority is now vested in them instead of in the one individual that acts as the king. And this new institution that we call government now acts as the king, the priest, the king priest, the ruler of the society, and people have to do what it says. And people actually believe this claim. They've actually believed you can somehow give a group of people this erroneous idea called authority, this concept that does not exist in nature, meaning ownership over other people and their lives and what they may or may not do, and that's somehow legitimate. You've magically gifted a group of people now with rights that don't exist for single individuals. And this is the thing people need to understand. What makes this a religion is it is entirely based on an erroneous belief. In the break, you kind of asked me, what's the difference between religion and belief? Belief is the main tool of religion. And let me just define religion before we go on explaining this concept. Religion comes from the Latin religare. Religare is a verb in Latin that means to tie back, to hold back, to thwart from forward progress, or to bind by tying up. Okay, that's what the verb religare, which is where religion comes from in Latin, means. A false religion binds us from forward progress. It ties us back from where we really need to go, which is to get to the truth, to understand the truth that we are sovereign beings, that we are not slaves, which is what the word sovereign means, coming from the Latin super, meaning above, and regnum, meaning rulership or control. Those who are above external rulership or control by others, meaning that they are not subjects or slaves to any others, that's what sovereign means. It means not a slave. Okay, so everybody is a sovereign. None of us are slaves, whether anybody believes that slavery is valid or not. Everybody still in nature, in reality, is a sovereign being. What religion convinces people is the opposite is true, that there is such a thing as authority to instill this belief. Belief is the tool of religion. It is the vehicle by which religion actually accomplishes its goal, which is to mind control people into thinking that they are slaves, that they are not sovereign, that other people have authority over them and they must listen to what they are commanded to do, even if the command is telling them that they may not exercise a right which they do have, or that they must exercise some action or behavior that they don't wish to do and aren't harming anybody by not doing. Okay, so this religion called government, most people in the world still believe in it. They are members of a religious cult. Whether they understand that or not, that's what adherence to government are. Because government is entirely based in violence. It is saying, if you do what we tell you, you may not do, regardless of whether that action harms anyone else, or if you don't do what we tell you, you must do, regardless of whether refraining from or refusing to do that action harms anybody, we are going to do violence to you in the form of either hurting you physically, taking your property, or putting you into a cage against your will. And the thing that people have to look at is, what is a right? If you understand what a right is, you understand that that right is natural. It exists in nature. It didn't come from man. Rights don't come from man. They're not invented by man. Right and wrong are not constructs that are invented in the mind of man. This is what also most people think, because they are moral relativists. The people who think that mankind has made up the notion between right and wrong are moral relativists. Because if we made them up, then we can make them up however we think that they should be. Okay? If we're in control of what right and wrong is, that means we can say, this is right now, and then a year from now, we change our mind and say, now that's wrong and it's punishable. Or let's look at the example of alcohol prohibition. Well, it was legal, then they passed laws to make it illegal, and now suddenly you could be punished for doing something that was legal a year, quote unquote, a year ago, okay? And then they repealed prohibition, and now it became, quote unquote, legal again. Well, did that mean that it was originally moral to do it? And then it became immoral when they passed prohibition, and then magically it became moral again after so much time passed, and then they repealed prohibition laws against alcohol. Of course it didn't. Either an action is moral, meaning that you can take it because it causes no harm and it's in harmony with natural law, or it's immoral at all times and at all places. Right action is the same regardless of where you're at, when you're at, who you are, the amount of population. None of those things matter. It's either a right or it's a wrong. It's objective. It exists in nature. And the thing that makes it exist in nature is because if you take the action and it causes harm, that's a wrong. If you take the action and it doesn't cause harm, that's a right. These are things that exist in nature. Okay, so it wouldn't make a difference how many people there are or how many people believe otherwise. Right is always going to remain a right. Wrongs are always going to remain wrongs. You cannot change those dynamics through legislation. You cannot turn a wrongdoing into a right that someone may do any more than you can turn a right that someone may do into a wrongdoing that is punishable. So this is what people who believe in government believe. This is their religion. They believe that man can get to decide what right and wrong action are, that they're not inherent principles in creation that are there to be discovered as the laws of morality that they actually are. They believe in relativistic morality in which man gets to make up what right and wrong are. So an example, I do not have the right to tell someone else that a certain amount of the product of their labor is mine. Okay, so let's look at slavery. I don't think anyone would disagree if we define slavery as one person's claim that 100% of the product of someone else's labor belongs to them. So a slave that is put to work in a field by a plantation owner, let's say, okay, his so-called master, they're doing all this work out in a field to grow whatever crop they happen to be growing and harvesting it and binding it up and moving it, etc. That is physical labor that they use to produce those things. Now, the master is claiming, your body is my property, and anything that you create or generate as a result of the work you do, meaning your labor, is also my property. I get to keep 100% of the product of your labor. I don't think there's anybody who's not actually really, truly mentally retarded would probably agree on planet Earth that that is as good of a definition of slavery as one could give. that 100% of the product of someone else's labor belongs to them. Belongs to another person is what I mean, okay? The master owns 100% of the labor of the person he's claiming to own. That's the definition of slavery. Well, I ask people, then please give me a percentage at which, if you lower the percentage from 100 down to another percentage, that it magically becomes not slavery anymore. And, of course, what I'm really talking about here is taxation, the notion of taxation against anybody. I don't care whether it's a corporation. I don't care whether it's an individual, a group of individuals. The point here is if I do not have the right to claim that I own someone else's labor, who does have that right? How could it be granted to someone else?
Absolutely. We have that problem with the IRS. And that lie that was perpetuated on us about 100 years ago. Guys, we're closing out the first hour of the Region 10 Report, but Mark is going to stay for the next hour, and we are going to get into the occult and symbology. And folks, you do not want to miss this, so please stay seated. This is the Region 10 Report. We are speaking with Mark Passio of whatonearthishappening.com.
...1973 was a year rich in dark and turbulent history. But through all the global and political turmoil, a shining light was born. The first celebration pipes were created on Lai'i Point in Oahu, Hawaii, 40 years later. And CelebrationPipes.com is marking their anniversary with a beautiful new finish in Vickery Green. Celebration pipes are functional jewelry for the mind. Each lava stoneware pipe is noka oi, and still handcrafted by DePiper himself. Fired twice and plated in 22-karat gold, then finished with more precious metals and lusters. Choose from pure gold, platinum, opal, black coral, purple haze, Hanalei blue, or Rastafire. And now the 40th anniversary Victory Green. Many celebrities and heroes of the legalization movement have commissioned their pipes from CelebrationPipes.com, including Aerosmith, Bob Marley and the Wailers, Colin Young, Calapana, Cheech and Chong, Daryl Hannah, Keith Struve, Willie Nelson, Fleetwood Mac, Harrelson, Jefferson Starship, Marley. Come and see all the beautiful pipes and get your 40th anniversary Victory Green Celebration Pipe at CelebrationPipes.com.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, the way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
Has your heart been pounding? Feel short of breath? Got high blood pressure or problems sleeping? Heart disease is a leading cause of death. Being surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and poisoned water has a cumulative effect as we enter later life. Medications that only address symptoms ensure these problems persist, while your family and finances suffer. It's time to work with the body and its own innate ability to heal itself. Heart and Body Extract is a natural, organic herbal supplement that restores balance. A heart attack could be just around the corner. Spare your loved ones pain and fear. Protect yourself, protect your health with Heart and Body Extract. With a lifetime money-back guarantee, you have no excuse. Order a two-month supply today. Call toll-free 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com.
No rules.
No rules.
No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.
Listening to the Region 10 Report with your host, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com, where the alternative media gets their news. This show will expose the elite domination plan, disinfo agents, propaganda, corporate control, and the UN plan to strip the world of its freedom and the U.S. of its constitution. This is the Region 10 Report with Suzanne Posel, bringing you the real truth behind the news.
Hey, everyone. We are back, and we are talking with Mark Passio. And, well, on the break, I kind of got mixed up because we were talking about aliens. There was a Canadian former Prime Minister of Defense who came out earlier this week, was saying that aliens were working with our U.S. government. And so I kind of got sidetracked from the religion that we were talking about.
I think eventually if people study enough into the old religion, they'll understand that those two things are not quite as dissimilar as they would at first believe. But to go back to some of the points that I was bringing up earlier about that government is actually a religion. It is the new order, quote unquote, which is really a control system that leads to chaos. The new order's religion is government. They've convinced people through mind manipulation techniques that slavery in the form of quote unquote government and authority, the belief in authority, actually is necessary and must continue. And I was giving the example of taxation being slavery. If you can make a claim on the product of someone else's labor and tell them what they must do with the product of that labor and that they don't have a choice, they don't have free will choice over what they will do with the product of their labor, by anybody's definition who is exercising common sense and being honest with themselves instead of lying to themselves and trying to hear what they want to hear or what they telling themselves what they want to believe, that is slavery. And I just challenge anybody who believes that taxation is not slavery. If you think that taking 100% of the product of someone's labor is slavery, then tell me which percentage is not slavery. And that can be arbitrarily dictated. Today they're saying it's 30% that they want to take from you. Tomorrow they may say it's 50 or 60 or 75 or 85 or 95 or 100. So if somebody's saying you don't have a right to 1% of what you just earned, that means you're their slave. There is no percentage. There's no percentage you can lower that figure to that makes it not slavery anymore. Because slavery is the removal of free will from another person. If they don't want to give the product of their labor voluntarily, you can't legislate that and command that into existence unless you're actually telling them you don't have the free will right to do what you will with the product of your labor, and therefore you're my slave and you must do what I command you to do with that the product of that labor, the percentage that I say you must give away to any particular cause, no matter how beneficent it may be. That's still making the claim of ownership on that person, making the claim of ownership on their body by making the claim of ownership on what they produce with their body. So this is propagated by occult techniques, mind control techniques that are very difficult for the average person to see. And again, we talked about before what the word occult means. When people hear the word occult, they have a reaction to it because they're programmed. The very reaction to the word occult is largely a mind control technique or tactic. You want to obfuscate the definitions of words, so when certain words are said, people will have a reactive a reactive mindset to it. Their mindset will go into reactive mode, and they will trigger a connotation that they've been taught instead of actually hearing the word and understanding its definition. A definition is completely different than a connotation. A connotation is a perceived meaning. A definition is a real meaning of a word. Okay, and we need to understand that there's a big difference between the connotation that is accepted generally by the population when they hear the word occult, and the connotation is, oh, it's bad, it's evil, it's something we should have nothing to do with, we should never look into that, that's completely crazy, quack belief systems that are based in crazy religious beliefs, and it's all nonsense. That's the connotation of the word occult, as the general population grasps the connotation or uses the word. The real definition of the word means, what occult really means is hidden, simply hidden, hidden from sight, difficult to see, veiled from sight, hidden from the eyes. That's all it means. And it comes from the Latin word for eye, oculus. Oculus is the Latin word for eye. From there, we get the word occultare. The verb occultare means to hide from sight, meaning veil it from the eye, hide it from the eye, hide it away. So if I take a drapery and, you know, take a television, okay, and I drape a drapery over the television, I've just occulted it from someone's sight. You can't see it anymore. I've hidden the television and whatever might happen to be on the screen, I've hidden that from someone's sight by throwing a thick drapery over it. I've veiled it. I have occulted it. It is now hidden from sight. You can't see it unless you were to lift that veil and look for yourself. Okay, so the Latin verb occultare means to hide, to conceal, or to keep secret. From there we get the Latin adjective occultus. Occultus means hidden from sight. And that's where we get the English word occult. Okay? It means hidden from sight. That's all. It's hidden knowledge. Now, then what people have to understand once they understand all the word occult means is hidden is what information or knowledge is the occult hiding. And the information that occultism is hiding, particularly dark occultists and dark occultists in their belief system, dark occultism, okay, what they are hiding away is knowledge about how the human mind, the human psyche, actually works, the motivations of people, how the psyche can be molded, how it can be swayed, how it can be influenced, and the techniques for doing that. So the first part, the first half of occult knowledge is knowledge of the self, of how we work, how we actually operate, knowledge of how consciousness expresses itself in the physical world and how the psyche actually operates and the motivations of the individual. This is occulted information. This is what dark occultists are hiding from people and discouraging them from looking into, getting them to externalize their power, look to without, never look to within, never understand the self truly and deeply. Because if you really understand the self, you're going to come into a level of consciousness by which in which you cannot be controlled externally. You're not going to externalize power if you hold that knowledge. This is why the looking into the occult is so discouraged. Because they don't want anybody to understand themselves enough to develop the level of self-respect and courage that is required not to be controlled anymore, not to want to be controlled anymore, and to stand up for their rights. So that's the first part of what occult knowledge contains. The second part of what occult knowledge contains, and again, this is a generalism. There's a lot more to it than just this. But in general, the first part is the knowledge of the individual, the knowledge of self. The second part is the knowledge of the laws of the universe. How does our shared experience actually get created? How are we making choices and taking behaviors based upon free will decisions that lead to the way things are in our experience at a collective level, in the aggregate sense, okay, the shared collective reality that we are living here on the earth as a global civilization. How are we making that experience for ourselves as a result of our interaction through our free will decisions, and then taking a behavior based upon those free will decisions in conjunction with the boundary conditions of nature that I simply refer to as natural law, nature's laws. Okay? These laws govern the consequences of the behaviors that we choose. Many people have called this in the past consequentialism. People have referred to it in Eastern traditions as karmic law. In Christian traditions, it's simply been referred to as moral law. I call it natural law because these are the laws that are the boundary conditions of the universe itself or of nature. So these are the natural world's governing dynamics. This is the second part of the knowledge that comprises occultism. So it's the knowledge of the monad, the individuated unit of consciousness, the individual. Okay, the one, the individuated consciousness, the knowledge of the self, and then it is the knowledge of the macrocosm. So we have the microcosmic knowledge of self and the macrocosmic knowledge of the governing dynamics of nature and how the individual is either working in harmony with those governing dynamics or working in opposition to those governing dynamics. That is what occultism is. And I want to state that emphatically. That's not what I believe occultism to be. That's what the knowledge of occultism contains. This is why it has been occulted. This is why they don't want people looking into it, and they want to keep them distracted, and they want to keep them in religious belief. They don't want them acquiring this knowledge, because this is the knowledge by which, if you take it into yourself, you stop being a slave. You are no longer fit to be a slave if you understand this knowledge and live it in your everyday life, because you have understood that slavery is inherently illegitimate as a result of taking this knowledge in and understanding about the self and understanding about the laws of nature. So this is what they have to keep hidden and dissuade people from, at all costs, from ever looking into, because there goes the whole control system. If you understand the principles that are contained in occult systems of knowledge, these are sciences. They're not belief systems. Occult knowledge is just that. It is scientific knowledge about how things actually do work. It has absolutely nothing to do with a religion. It has nothing to do with a belief system. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say that the occult sciences are the antithesis of religion and the antithesis of belief. As a matter of fact, they discourage, continuously discourage belief. Because what you're saying by belief is, I don't need to do any checking. I don't need to do any experimenting. I'm just going to accept that in a right brain sense, on face value, just because it sounded good to me in the moment. And no occultist would do that. No true, no person studying the hidden laws of nature or the hidden aspects of the self would ever just accept something on blind faith at face value. They're going to do their own checking, double checking, and triple checking to understand how these laws actually are working, how they do govern the reality in which we live, and they're going to put those laws to the test through direct experience and gnosis, direct knowledge.
So what exactly is it about our what about our nature are they hiding from us? How powerful are we?
Almost infinitely, because we can probably create anything that we can imagine within the boundaries of natural law. But we have been convinced into this belief that we don't have that kind of, that level of power. They are what they're hiding from us is ultimately that we can create what we can imagine in our mind. And that means if you see something the way that it is and you know that it's fundamentally wrong, you can exercise your will to change it and make something different occur. It is possible to do that. It takes work to do that, especially when a belief system has been entrenched for maybe hundreds of years or thousands of years or tens of thousands of years. That's going to be a very great difficulty. It's going to be a great task, a great work in order to make that change occur. But we can do that. See, the difference is, will we choose to do it? Can and will are two vastly different things. Can means that the possibility is there. That is within our potential. We have almost unlimited potential. There's so many things that you can do within the boundaries of natural law. There's only a few things you really can't do within the boundaries of natural law, and that is continue to cause harm and support the ongoing causing of harm without consequence, without negative consequence. This is the prison that we've built for ourselves by not understanding natural law. And, you know, people will say, oh, well, people don't understand it because it's been hidden. Well, it's not really hidden. See, again, to say that it is even truly hidden is to say truth can never be truly hidden. Truth exists all the time, at all places, everywhere in the universe. It is right there before our eyes to be discovered. What is actually being hidden, the way you have to look at it is the truth isn't actually being veiled. We're being veiled. That cloak is being thrown over our head. We're being hoodwinked and prevented from seeing what's already there all around us and discoverable at any given moment. We, however, have to make the decision to take that cloak off from around our eyes, that hoodwinking from around our eyes, and choose to look at what's actually there. So all an occultist can do is try to convince you never to look into true knowledge, never to look into the occult. They want to dissuade you from ever doing it. Keep your blindfold on. Keep your hoodwink on. If you ever took that off, you'd see something. Oh, it would be terrible. It would be bad. You don't want to learn anything about that. Just put your head down. Keep doing your work. Keep being a good little slave. You don't need to know anything about that, because that's the knowledge of how you're controlled. That's what it ultimately is all about. And that's why it's so discouraged in our society, and it's been turned into a dirty word.
I see that, and I also I've spoken about this with the audience before, but by the way, we have about a minute before the break. But I've had instances that religious leaders cannot explain to me that whenever I've actually truly in the depths of my soul wanted something, whether it was a person, place, or thing, I always got it. Always. Didn't matter how pretty I was or how unpretty I was. I always got the guy that I wanted to date. I always ended up in the place where I wanted to end up. I always got the job that I wanted. And I think that exploring that option for people to understand, we should do on the other side of the break, so people sure understand how we're manifesting this world and how we can unmanifest all the garbage that they've put in it. Folks, do not go away. You do not want to miss the rest of this show.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkey Light is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkey Light LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Have you been feeling off lately? Tired, depressed, or in pain? Maybe you've tried doctors and medications without luck. What if you could try something different and natural? Something that helps your body actually heal itself. I'm Trina, and I want to share with you something amazing I've discovered. RNA drops are a groundbreaking invention for alternative health. I had a rotator cuff injury from softball, and I didn't really want surgery. My cousin told me to try the RNA drops. I wasn't sure what to think, but kept an open mind. And after using the drops, I was completely healed and could throw the softball again. There's something about these drops. I had problems with anxiety and speaking in front of people. Those fears are all gone now. I also noticed more energy, and a surprising side effect for me was an increased libido. You can try RNA drops for free for a limited time. Go to trinasgooddrops.com and claim your free bottle. Pay only shipping and handling. Resolve to be good to yourself and get your free sample of RNA drops at trinasgooddrops.com.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Universities destroy knowledge. Governments destroy freedom. The major media destroys information. And religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What do we hear about in this country? It's our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality. Anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
Has your heart been pounding? Feel short of breath? Got high blood pressure or problems sleeping? Heart disease is a leading cause of death. Being surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and poisoned water has a cumulative effect as we enter later life. Medications that only address symptoms ensure these problems persist while your family and finances suffer. It's time to work with the body and its own innate ability to heal itself. Heart and Body Extract is a natural, organic herbal supplement that restores balance. A heart attack could be just around the corner. Spare your loved ones pain and fear. Protect yourself, protect your health with Heart and Body Extract. With a lifetime money-back guarantee, you have no excuse. Order a two-month supply today. Call toll-free 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Get real and heal. Listen to Christy on Soul Journeys Radio. Live Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Denying the times of the lower at ease, when at odds with establishment, iron war upkeep, while asking one question for answering it first, as the central intelligence eats the whole world. Tell me how you feel.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming back with us, Mark. While we were on the break, we were talking about how bad it really is, and I don't mean to throw you off the line of thought process that we have, but when you say that, what do you mean?
Well, I think as more and more is revealed and de-occulted, I think people are going to start to really ask even broader questions about why this is the current situation and continues to be the current situation. And that's going to have to, that's going to prod us into looking into human origins. And when we go into that story, I think we're going to find a tale that most people are going to be in cognitive dissonance to ever even look at or acknowledge, because it really comes down to that Earth is a prison of sorts. This is something that was made for us and something we were made for this dynamic. We were made specifically for the dynamic of slavery. When we understand that, and again, that's a whole nother topic of discussion and would take not just one show, but probably 20 to even breach the surface of. I think that knowledge, when it starts to come out and people really start engaging it, is what's ultimately going to start driving humanity forward to breaking our chains. Because we're going to realize we're up against something that truly is something other than us. It's not what we think it is. And when we can open our mind to that, I think it's going to motivate. Some people are going to shut down when they learn that. And then some people it's going to motivate because they're going to really realize that Earth is more like a farm than they had ever imagined. So I don't say any of this to scare people or to shut people down. But if for people who have done a little bit of homework, they'll know somewhat of what I'm referring to. But this is these are going to be some of the topics that I'm going to eventually get back, that get onto on the show, because I have not covered this in my radio show / podcast as of yet. It's topics that I'll be delving into over the next many months on what on earth is happening. So, but to go back to occultism in general, and the fact that they have to discourage people from even looking into any of this. They don't want people to even begin that journey, okay, let alone go into the real deep stuff like I was just referring to. They want people remaining in ignorance, because an ignorant person is easy to control, whereas a very knowledgeable person who knows the truth is very hard to control. Like the very, very, very wise man Frederick Douglass said, it is knowledge that makes a person unfit to be a slave. If we think we can remain ignorant and be free, we're delusional. We're kidding ourselves. There's no such thing as that situation. So regardless of what even made the condition, the way out of the condition is the knowledge, is taking in the knowledge of who we are, how we work, how we're being manipulated, and how the laws of nature work, and how we need to align our thoughts, emotions, and actions to those boundary conditions that I refer to as natural law. So that's what the occult knowledge is, and it's what the controllers seek to keep us from. They want to sequester that as far away from us as possible and discourage us from looking into it by providing entertainment, trivialities, you know, just all manner of completely banal information and trivialities in our life. They don't want us looking at what's real. They don't want us looking at what's true. They want us wrapped up in opinions. They want us wrapped up in ourselves and our own ego. They want us wrapped up in money and acquiring of physical things and wealth. You know, they don't want us looking at principles, core philosophical principles. That's what they don't want people understanding. Because if you understand that, then you're going to understand what right and wrong truly are. And then you're going to understand that wrong actions should not be engaged in or be just allowed to continue to be engaged in by others. Again, their religion is completely propagated upon the notion that it is possible to grant rights to people, quote-unquote rights to people, that individuals don't have. In other words, that you can say that someone else is allowed to commit a wrongdoing. So, for example, I have no right to shut down someone else's free speech and to say someone may not engage other people with speech and information. But if if a lawmaker writes down, oh, you may not go here and say this to somebody or go here and hand a piece of paper to somebody, then magically that becomes a right for the enforcer. They're allowed to do that action then. This is what we have to understand. There are no exceptions to natural law. If something is right for one person, it is a right for all people. Everybody has the same rights. No one has any extra rights or any less rights. If something is wrong for someone to do, if it's morally wrong for someone to do because the action hurts another or steals their property or steals their rights from them, then no one can do it. It's not a right for anybody. It's a wrong for everyone. And this is what we have to understand about how natural law functions. This is what this knowledge, okay, the knowledge of natural law is conscience. This is what people also don't understand. If you have not looked into the occulted laws of nature, meaning moral law that exists in nature, that is put there by the creator or the creation itself, however you want to look at that. The force of creation, the creator of the universe, I don't care what you look at that force as or that intelligence as. You can imagine it however you want. That's up to you. But that's what put that into creation. It wasn't put into creation by man. Therefore, man cannot suddenly magically change it by saying, I'm the arbiter of truth and I get to make up what right and wrong are. And When we look into that natural law and we develop that knowledge, that's what conscience is. That's what developing a conscience is. See, when you say conscience to people, they don't identify that as knowledge, but that's exactly what conscience is. If you say, do you have conscience? Is conscience developed within you? What you're really asking the person is, do you have a certain kind of knowledge? And that is knowledge of right and wrong. That's what conscience is. Conscience is the possession of the definitive knowledge of the objective difference between right and wrong. And very, very, very few people have that knowledge. And that's a strange thing to say. To come on a radio show and say publicly, most people do not have conscience because most people do not truly know the definitive and objective difference between right and wrong is such a profoundly, overwhelmingly sad thing to have to say. But it is true. I'm only saying it because it is the case. We are not a people that are born into conscience. Conscience comes from the Latin language. Con, the prefix con in Latin means together or with. And then the verb where we get the word science from, the second part of the word conscience is science. Con, science, conscience. Science comes from the Latin verb sciere, S-C-I-E-R-E. Sciere in Latin means to know or to understand. So when we put them together, we have to know together. Sciere, con, to know together. Common knowledge, or in other words, common sense. This is the lost modality of human consciousness. We don't have any common sense. We don't have the common knowledge, excuse me, of right and wrong. Definitive, objective truth about what a right is and what a wrong is. And you were talking about the laws of attraction and, you know, working with them to basically create things that you want in your immediate experience, in your immediate life. I would refer to that aspect of the laws of attraction as the microcosmic laws of attraction. And there's nothing wrong with employing them and understanding how they work. And they do apply in our lives, and we can learn those microcosmic laws of attraction to basically hold a certain thought form, an emotional state, and take certain action to create what we want in our immediate experience in our individuated life. I would refer to this as the microcosmic laws of attraction. While they are important, they are absolutely ancillary to the macrocosmic laws of attraction. In other words, meaning the principles of correspondence and the laws of cause and effect. If we don't understand those two principles, how correspondence works, and this has been stated in different occult traditions as the microcosm reflects the macrocosm, and the macrocosm reflects the microcosm. Many people may have heard about this law of correspondence stated in this way: that which is below is like to that which is above, and that which is above is like to that which is below. What it means is, as the individuated units of consciousness are expressing their consciousness, okay, in the aggregate sense, meaning you have most of society thinking, feeling, and behaving in this particular way, that is what the entirety of the society is going to look like. The macrocosmic experience on Earth is going to become what we are putting into this field of energy. Okay, and it's going to become the collective shared experience, the collective shared reality of the whole civilization, based on what the personalities, the understanding, the behaviors of the individual units of consciousness called the people are like. A good way of understanding this, and again, that's all going to be based on the laws of cause and effect as governed by the governing dynamics of natural law. In other words, when we are moral, we will be more free. As we go into deeper levels of immorality and the lack of understanding of right and wrong or moral law, we will be more enslaved. This is a function that exists within the laws of creation, and it can never be broken. No one's ever going to break that law. It is in operation at all times and places. I want to read a quote that I think brilliantly illustrates this and has a deep this gentleman has a deep understanding of these principles. This was from a very short essay that I highly recommend to people. It was called On Liberty, and this person's internet handle was Aquinas, and he was basically – he's a modern philosopher, I guess you could say. I don't actually know the gentleman, but he wrote a short essay about the dynamics that govern human freedom, okay, or in other words, natural law. And he called it On Liberty. And this is just a brief quote from the essay. He says, because choice is subsequent to a judgment upon the truth of the matter presented. Okay, so I'll read that one more time. Because choice is subsequent to a judgment upon the truth of the matter presented. Meaning, and I'll pause briefly and just explain what that means. He's saying we make our choices based on what we think is true. We decide on the truth of a matter in our own minds, and then we act. We make a choice. Okay. Continuing, he says, it is an immutably true principle. Immutably means that it cannot ever be changed. It works this way all the time. It is an immutably true principle that human liberty depends entirely upon judgments which conform to natural law. So we have to make decisions that conform to the laws of morality if we want to be free, is what he's saying. Continuing with this paragraph, he says, if a judgment which does not conform to natural law, and that judgment, therefore, is objectively false and immoral, because natural law is what is true and moral. That's the governing dynamic of morality, the boundary condition that exists in nature that governs right and wrong, and the behaviors that we take that are either right or wrong. So if we make a judgment and it does not conform to natural law, so we take a behavior and it's not in harmony with natural law, it is therefore objectively false and immoral, meaning wrong. It becomes a source of grave disorder in society. So he's saying this is what contributes to disorder, to chaos, to evil. All right, continuing the last sentence, he says, exponentially multiply these numbers of individual moral acts, and you have a society that collapses from moral decay in a short period of time. So this is the principle of correspondence. In the aggregate, we are creating our collective shared experience. So we're creating the police state because in our individual lives, we're not behaving morally and we're supporting immoral behavior because we're under the illusion that this somehow is good and is there for a reason and has to continue. But nonetheless, that's a false judgment. It's a judgment that's been made that is in disharmony with natural law, and therefore it is false and it is immoral. When you multiply them exponentially, you get the total moral breakdown of a society and a police state. That's what creates a police state or a system of slavery.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break here, Mark. And folks, please stay with us. We're heading up on the last segment here. And Mark, we're going to discuss more about this because I really believe that people just don't get this, and it's not their fault. It was not taught. Our parents didn't teach us, and our schools didn't teach us, and we have to teach ourselves. Folks, don't go away.
I am the eye in the sky.
Did you get a red light camera ticket? Red light cameras are a scam. The government and their corporate interests want you to believe they are about safety, but in reality they generate billions of dollars for private security firms like Redflex Incorporated, robbing you of time, money and energy. Don't let the flash steal your cash. At killredlightcameras.com, you can purchase a copy of You Don't Have to Pay, How Anyone Can Beat a Red Light Camera Ticket the Easy Way by Red Light Camera Crusader, Rory Joseph Brown. Rory figured out the secret that the courts, police, and private camera companies don't want you to know. That in fact, these cameras are unconstitutional. You Don't Have to Pay as a field guide to go from receiving your ticket in the mail to beating it in court in three easy steps. Hurry, act now. Go to killredlightcameras.com. Available in both PDF and Kindle versions. If you know your rights, you don't have to pay.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
If you do not disperse, you may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
This is a point I think is very important to stress to those in uniform and to those in the dark suits in government who are serving the system while not actually forgetting it, they're serving it. You have no power. I don't care if you're in the military. I don't care if you've got how many kind of stars on your uniform. I don't care what level of the police force you're in. I don't care if you're doing roadblocks. I don't care if you're pulling people off the street. I don't care what you're doing. You have no power. Your uniform has the power. Take your uniform off, put it in the wardrobe, where's your power? Go and get another job without that uniform, where's your power? You have no power. You are employed to animate that uniform, which is an extension of the state, and that's all you are, and therefore you are expendable.
We're ready for our first caller. Welcome, Debbie.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about what the RNA drops are doing for you and what your experience is on them?
Oh, gosh, I've had so many experiences. The first effects I felt was I would take the drops before going off to the golf course to play in league or just to play, and I noticed my game was more precise, and my focus was there, and my eyes stayed right in the ball, and I hit the ball farther. My muscles seemed to work. My energy levels seemed to be up, and I'll tell you, I took a couple of strokes off my game.
I think that's incredible.
It's pretty exciting.
What are the other things that you have noticed on that?
Well, in my love life, I noticed that the focus and the energy level and the energy exchange that I have with my man has been amazing. I can actually feel the energy exchange from his body to my body.
That is great.
Just beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
And again, you can get those drops at trinasgooddrops.com.
That's right, trinasgooddrops.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 till 7 Central on American Freedom Radio.
Fight the last freedom of imagination, or drowning pop culture of the biggest nation, with armies of idiots brandishing brand names of one corporation or conflagration, the most holy train wreck of all human history. Tell me how you feel.
Hello everyone, we are back, and Mark, on the break we were talking about the Golden Rule. And something that you mentioned earlier in the broadcast reminds me of the Golden Rule, the idea that they put in our heads that if we just adhered to the Golden Rule, well, we can't have that. I mean, people are just going to do whatever they want. No, we have to have rules and guidelines and amendments to those guidelines and sub-amendments and sub-guidelines and to the point where we don't understand what we're supposed to be doing here, when all we have to do is look at other people and ask ourselves, if we were in their shoes, would we want this done to ourselves?
That's it. That's all it comes down to. So simple, such a simple principle. And what you've simply described there is the sacred feminine principle known as the non-aggression principle. And that's all anybody really needs to understand, because if they get that, there will not be any need to exercise the sacred masculine principle of self-defense. Now, we should understand that principle as well, but in other words, the Golden Rule is so much better stated in the negative variety, in the negative sense, and what, I'll explain what I mean by that. There's two ways of expressing something. There's the affirmative sense of expression where you're saying, do this, and then there's the negative aspect, or what would be called the apophatic variety, apophatic, A-P-O-P-H-A-T-I-C, apophatic. And this means stating it in the negative. Define it in the negative sense. What shouldn't you do? That's actually much more powerful and is so much less ambiguous than the way that we traditionally hear the Golden Rule stated. We traditionally hear it stated in the sense of, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. This is ambiguous. I'm not saying that it's not true, that that's not a good idea, but I'm saying it's still ambiguous in most people's mind, because different people want to be treated slightly different ways. This opens up to subjective opinionated mindset, because again, there's different likes, preferences, tastes, etc. When you state the Golden Rule in that sense, in the affirmative sense, it's very ambiguous to many, in many people's minds. However, if you state it in the apophatic sense, or the negative variety, the negative variant, and you say, do not treat others as you do not wish to be treated, then all the ambiguity leaves, because everybody doesn't want to be treated in the same way. Everybody would say, I don't want to be stolen from. I don't want to be molested. I don't want to be physically harmed when no one has any reason to come and harm me. I don't want to be kept someplace against my will, enslaved. I don't want to be kidnapped. I want my security and my person respected. I don't want somebody raping me or physically causing me harm or stealing property from my home, et cetera, so forth. Everybody doesn't want certain kinds of behaviors done to them. So when we state the Golden Rule in the apophatic variety, I feel that it becomes much more powerful and much less ambiguous in people's minds as to what it's really saying. That's the most powerful way, in my understanding, of stating the non-aggression principle, of telling people, don't do this because you would not want to have that done to you by someone else. And I think everybody can get it at that level. In other words, a cop trying to shut down someone's free speech rights really doesn't want his free speech rights shut down. He's following an order to get a paycheck and exercising some petty nonsense variant of so-called power, which isn't real any power at all, over someone he sees as his subservient because he feels horrible about who he really is and has some nested psychological trauma that he has a hard time dealing with or some feelings of inadequacy that he has a hard time dealing with. But he doesn't really want to be treated like that. If you ask him honestly, would you want to be treated the way you just treated somebody, shutting down their free speech rights? He would obviously say, no, I have a right to free speech. And yet he would do that to somebody else for a paycheck. Just because he was ordered to, and he looks at himself as subservient to the one giving the commands. So it all comes from the lack of self-respect, which is what really we have to do, is go inside, heal the nested subconscious psychological trauma that is holding us back from the true development of self-respect. And again, this is all aspects of occultism. It's dealing with the shadow material, dealing with that which is hidden from our own eyes, even within ourselves. It's not just about external knowledge of how the world works either, or what's going on in the world. It's about what's going on within ourselves and our own psyche and our own subconscious mind. So again, there's very vastly different techniques that they use to keep people in this form of a trance or in this mind control. I know we wanted to get into symbolism, and this is the last segment. There's not much time. Maybe we could, you know, do that another time and expand on it in a big way and just go into that topic specifically.
But absolutely.
I'll just briefly touch upon that topic because it's one of the mind control techniques that they use. They understand that symbols have very powerful resonant energy, even in the symbol itself. Symbols work through archetypal forms, very simple forms, structures, shapes, colors, okay, and words that are often combined to form a symbol of some kind that has a hidden or an encoded meaning. And that encoded meaning actually registers at the subconscious psychological level. Even if the conscious mind is incapable of perceiving the meaning, the subconscious mind, which is essentially all-knowing, and it acts as an aggregator of information even that the conscious mind isn't consciously picking up, okay? And this is done for a specific reason. It's done to actually protect us from traumatic situations. That's what the subconscious is, that's what its main role or its main focus is, to perform. We know at a subconscious level what these symbols are. We resonate with them. Our psyche resonates with them as a subconscious. But if the conscious mind isn't aware of this hidden language, it is going to be susceptible to being influenced by certain types of symbols that we know their meaning at a subconscious level, and that's what the practitioner that is using the symbol wants to access. So I'll just give you one brief example. We can look at the symbols of the sun. And there's so many products and so many services that use light and use the sun as a symbol. There's a reason for this. Subconsciously or at a conscious level even, we recognize the sun is the basis for all life here on the earth. Without the sun, nothing here would be able to continue to live. Okay? It is the absolute majority of the mass of the solar system, the absolute majority of all the energy of the solar system. It makes life possible. It makes the entire solar system capable of supporting life on this planet. The sun is the main thing that makes life even possible here on the earth. So it is also a symbol of knowledge. Throughout history, the sun has been used as a symbol of light, meaning since it is the light and it sheds lights on things and it does away with the darkness, it can be seen as a symbol and used interchangeably as a symbol for knowledge, because knowledge sheds light upon what's actually going on in our situation and it dispels the darkness that we call ignorance. So you'll see the sun used to make people resonate with products and services at a subconscious level. This is why it's used so frequently in so many symbols. Sun Oil Company, Gulf Oil, Sovereign Bank. You can just go on and on and on. And what we could do at a future show is break down different archetypal symbols and help people to understand how they're actually being used to tap into the subconscious mind of people who are not aware of what these symbols actually mean at a conscious level. They're not skilled in the decoding of this language. This is an occulted language. It's a non-verbal language. It's, again, a language that is comprised of archetypes, forms, colors, shapes, words, etc. And if you don't understand how those components go together, like letters go together to form words, you're not going to understand the language that's being spoken to your subconscious mind. So this is one of the mind control techniques, and you need to look no further than even something like your local news or your nightly news, okay? Just look at all the symbolism that they're using and the color frequencies and the sounds that they use. You'll notice that news always uses the blue frequency because this is the frequency that gets people to go into a relaxed state, an accepting state, to open up the right part of the mind, the right side of the mind, which actually takes information in without actually analyzing it. The left side of the brain, the left hemisphere, does analysis on information to try to determine its truthfulness. But the right side of the brain simply takes it in. So they want to try to hold people's minds in that frequency, and that can be actually accomplished. That influencing of the mind can be done through color. It's also the time that it comes on after most people have eaten, you know, or just came home from work. They're tired. They want to go into a relaxed right brain mind state. They want to eat something because they are just coming home from work. That's when this is on. The timing is very important. And then they do it again before you go to sleep at night. The colors are important. So we'll get all into that at a future episode if you wish.
Absolutely. I do want to have you back on. It's just fascinating to me, and I need to understand this, and I know that everybody else does, because we're all affected by this. We cannot get away from it. It's in everything. For those of you who don't know, read Joseph Campbell's Hero of a Thousand Faces. That's a great place to start, I think. But we are at the end of the show, and thank you, Mark, for coming along with us.
Suzanne, thank you so much for having me back on. It's always a pleasure.
I love having you on my show. His website is whatonearthishappening.com. And we'll see you next week, folks. Have a great week.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
1973 was a year rich in dark and turbulent history, but through all the global and political turmoil, a shining light was born. The first celebration pipes were created on Lai Point in Oahu, Hawaii, 40 years later, and CelebrationPipes.com is marking their anniversary with a beautiful new finish in Vickery Green. Celebration pipes are functional jewelry for the mind. Each lava stoneware pipe is noka oi, and still handcrafted by DePiper himself, fired twice and plated in 22-karat gold, then finished with more precious metals and lusters. Choose from pure gold, platinum, opal, black coral, purple haze, Hanalei blue, or Rastafire. And now the 40th anniversary Vickery Green. Many celebrities and heroes of the legalization movement have commissioned their pipes from CelebrationPipes.com, including Aerosmith, Bob Marley and the Wailers, Colin Young, Capone, Cheech and Chong, Daryl Hannah, Keith Stroop, Willie Nelson, Fleetwood Mac, Harrelson, Jefferson Starship, Steve Marley. Come and see all the beautiful pipes and get your 40th anniversary Vickery Green Celebration Pipe at CelebrationPipes.com.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFI wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
Has your heart been pounding? Feel short of breath? Got high blood pressure or problems sleeping? Heart disease is a leading cause of death. Being surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and poisoned water has a cumulative effect as we enter later life. Medications that only address symptoms ensure these problems persist, while your family and finances suffer. It's time to work with the body and its own innate ability to heal itself. Heart and Body Extract is a natural, organic herbal supplement that restores balance. A heart attack could be just around the corner. Spare your loved ones pain and fear. Protect yourself, protect your health with Heart and Body Extract. With a lifetime money-back guarantee, you have no excuse. Order a two-month supply today. Call toll-free 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.